Good afternoon to you, Andrew.
Good afternoon, Tony, David.
Andrew, congratulations. Another brilliant year by your Swannies. Have you been a little bit surprised with the form and the way that your mob have marched into a grand final?
Oh, look, I think when you start the season, you're always hopeful that that your team will be able to make the finals first and obviously try and progress to the grand final. But I guess it's not very many years where you win 17 games in the home and away season. So the form has been really good. We were always hopeful, I think, when we made the preliminary final last year and we had been knocked around with a bit of injuries, if we could get everything right, that we could at least be up there, competing pretty strongly for a spot.
You mentioned those wins towards the end of the year, Andrew. Second grand final in 3 years for the club. Was there a bit of head-scratching going on in the first few games of the season?
Oh, yes. Look, I think we always knew we were going to probably be a little bit slow coming into the season. The CBA had changed considerably, and our player group, given that we played in the preliminary final, didn't come back in and start training until about the 10th of December. So with the 10th of December start and the season actually starting earlier, we knew that we were probably going to be a little bit short when we got to the start. But I've got to say, we clearly didn't start very well in those first 3 or 4 weeks.
Andrew, do you take it as a compliment the way that clubs here in Victoria in particular have been critical of Sydney and the allowances or the cola that you've had and the way that you've been able to recruit the big guns to Sydney? Is that a compliment, or do you get peeved a little bit in all the vitriol that Sydney have copped in relation to Buddy and Kurt Tippett?
We do probably get a bit peeved. I think the reality is the AFL determined, and we think rightly determined quite a while ago, that the cost of living in Sydney is considerably higher than anywhere else in Australia and that players should be compensated for it. The fact is this week we've got 38 players on our list. All the players have got in their contracts a cola allowance. And at the end, you've got Buddy and Kurt who are using just over $100,000 of the cola that's available. So there's never been a pot that could be used. And the only reason we were able to put the players on the park was we took some pretty strong decisions. Middle of last year, when we thought that Buddy might have been coming, we didn't re-sign Shane Mumford, who we rate really highly. He'd been a very good player for us. But we knew we had to work within the salary cap. And the fact is, people like Jude Bolton retiring, Marty Matner, Jesse White leaving, Tony Armstrong, Jed Lamb. Over the last 2 years, we've made about $3 million of space in our salary cap, and that was the reason we recruit them, not because of the cola.
So, Andrew, have you picked up the phone then off the back of that question of Ox and had a chat to Eddie Maguire, who continues to go on about it and has maybe even put a cloud over people's minds in regards to if you were to win this year, whether you would have done it fairly?
Yeah, look, I think it's reasonably poor form from Eddie because the fact is he's on the public record, certainly in the Daily Telegraph, at least two occasions when he was living here, one saying that cola was absolutely needed and he could see firsthand the cost of living in Sydney and he was 100% supportive of it. And then secondly, he actually argued that the AFL should be paying it. So I think, the reality is I think Eddie sort of likes to play the games at times and, he's obviously got a big media profile and can get that message out there. But we know where we stand and we're confident of the way we run our club and clear that we don't take advantage of that cola allowance.
Andrew, would it be fair to say that Buddy Franklin's paid for himself this year with the exposure that he's given the Swans? You only had to see the press conference yesterday that there were... Gee, he was flanked by so many interested parties. Are you even taken back by the impact that he's had up there in Sydney?
We probably have been. I think we always knew when we were going through last year and we sort of knew that it was a high likelihood that Lance had come to us, that it was going to be a big hit.
Oh, we just lost Andrew. Sorry, Andrew. You just cut out there. Sorry.
Yeah, that we knew that... the signing of Lance would be a big issue and a big thing in the media. We always recruited him firstly because we thought that a player of his talent would obviously make our team better. But clearly, he's, you know, the way he plays his footy and he's of real interest to the media, and it certainly assisted us in Sydney, where there's a heap of competition from rugby league being its home base and having you know, the majority of its clubs based in Sydney, and rugby union and soccer being strong as well. So it's certainly assisted us to break through in Sydney media.
It's an interesting question by David Andrew, the fact that he says his buddy paid for himself. It's tough for clubs in Australia to actually determine that. In America and in other sports, especially in the EPL, they sell shirts specifically with people's names and number on it. In Australia, we don't necessarily do that. I'm sure you probably haven't seen a massive merchandise jump in the last 12 months, have you?
Look, our merchandise has gone up, funnily enough, over this last period, and there's no doubt that Buddy's number 23 has become really popular. We actually made a conscious decision heading into the season to really take it pretty slowly with trying to market and use, you know, some of Buddy's IP, because we just really wanted him to settle into the club and you know, be able to get his feet on the ground and start playing. And I know from talking to the Hawthorn guys that you know, his merchandise was by far the top seller, and it has been the number one seller in the competition for quite a while. So I've got no doubt over time that that will be helpful to us. It's probably not as big as you say in overseas.
Andrew, can I ask you about some players? You ruled out Paddy Ryder last week. What was the reasoning behind that? Is that cap issues?
Yeah, look, just in terms of the balance of our team and what we need to do going forward. Look, Paddy's a really, really good player, and I think any club would love to have him on your list, but you know, we do have to manage the list prudently. We've got some good young players starting to develop, you know, guys like Parker, who clearly are going to have higher demands in terms of their contract going forward. Parks is still contracted for the next 2 years, but I think it'd be fair to say,
yep,
given how quickly he's jumped, we're going to need to go back and sort of readjust that with him and his management. And we're sort of just conscious of the fact that we've got to balance that going forward. So with Mike Pike re-signing with us, we're comfortable heading forward with the ruck strength we've got.
Two players currently on your list. One who'll be playing on Saturday, Nick Malcheski. Any indication on his commitment to the club, or you won't know until after? And the other one is Tom Mitchell, potentially,
yep,
his position.
Yeah, look, with Nick indicated to us probably about 8 weeks ago that he really wanted to get to the end of the season. But I think it'd be fair to say, and Nick's, you know, I think no doubt played his best season in the AFL. The last couple of years he's actually been in the All-Australian squad, but his footy's probably trailed away, you know, over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Clearly in 2012 he was fantastic in the grand final, but he was just keen to really concentrate on his footy and get through to the end of the year. Now, as a free agent, obviously there's an chance that he might decide to head to another club, but we'll sit down with him once, with him and his management, you know, once we've got the weekend out the way, and hopefully can come to a, can get him to stay with us. And with young Tommy, I think the thing that most people have missed is that he had about a 9 week period where he could hardly train and only played about two half of games in the reserves. So really injuries have crueled his season. And I guess as we got to the end of the year, whilst he's a talented young guy, the form of Cunningham and Lloyd have just made it tough for him to get past those players. And obviously in terms of the bigger bodied, strong, which is what Tommy is, he's, you know, he's up against Parker and Joey Kennedy and the like. So we believe Tommy will be a really good player for us, and with a good pre-season and not having so many injuries, he should go well.
Got a couple of names for you also, Andrew. Ryan O'Keefe officially announced his retirement today. Must have been a tough one for the club in the way that all panned out throughout the year. Such a great player of the club, and then really not getting that opportunity throughout 2014.
Yeah, Tony, and I think, you know, David, having been around footy clubs and, you know, when you play with and see people up close hand, probably one of the hardest things for football clubs is managing its older players as they get closer to the end. And sometimes it's about, do they know that, you know, that they should retire now, or should they go another season? All those types of things are pretty difficult. And I think, you know, in Ryan's case, and I thought John Longmire summed it up pretty well, that for you know, for 14 years, Ryan's been in an environment where to be at your best, you're on the edge, you demand a heap from yourself. You really work to the maximum to try and play good footy. And it's hard to switch that off. And I think in Ryan's case, I think he's made the right decision to retire. Now, I would have, and we'd said to him, we don't think it would have been great for him to try and play another season elsewhere, but in the end, that was going to be his decision, and he's come to that conclusion, which we think is a good place to be.
Andrew, just some other AFL issues that are floating around at the moment. The Demons were denied a priority pick yesterday by the AFL. What was Sydney's stance on that? Undoubtedly, you were asked as a footy club what your thoughts were.
Yeah, no, not really. To us, the decisions of that type are really for the AFL administration and the commission. Clearly, Melbourne have been had some tough years, and I think it's a really one of those difficult decisions, because I think there's a lot of positiveness about where Melbourne are going. I think that with young Hogan coming in and some of the other younger players developing, and certainly what Paul and the coaching group were able to do, it looks like they're heading in the right direction. And it seems to me that the AFL, clearly by not giving the priority pick, pretty much signalling that it's only going to be in very extreme cases that we'll give it. I would have thought that if Melbourne had another year and struggled, then probably next year would be appropriate.
Andrew, what about the Essendon side? You've been around an administration level of a lot of AFL football clubs for a lot of years. The last 12 months, have you just sat back and scratched your head and thought, what in the hell's happening?
Yeah, look, it's a really difficult situation. I mean, I think you can look at it in a lot of different ways. Obviously, on face value, someone's been allowed to come into the club and, provide an environment which is, pretty risky at best, I guess, and that's, from the Essendon, their own report. I guess you've also got, players who've been willing to do that. And I think we all understand that in a football club environment, it's very tough to sort of say no to some of these things. But there are some pretty experienced players there, and certainly all the lectures that I hear, year after year, the players are always told not to take anything unless the club doctor signs it off. So if that was done, then I think there's other issues within the Essendon Footy Club. But it's a sad state of affairs, and I think I can understand a need to properly investigate something like this. The players certainly should have every opportunity to prove that they haven't used performance enhancing drugs. But they're obviously in an awkward position, and certainly, if they're told by the club that those, supplements they were taking weren't performance enhancing, then puts them in a very awkward position.
Andrew, what about your message to the Swannies fans just before we let you go on Saturday, whether they're at the ground or the game? Is there something you want to let them know, or can you give them any information that might, just make them smile and be pretty confident about the weekend?
Look, I guess I must admit I'm always generally a pessimist in footy. So
really?
What I do know, but what I do know is that we're going to have to play some really good footy. The reality is we're playing a very, very good team. They've proven that three grand finals in a row on their home grounds. And in 2012, I think our team probably played as good as it could play to just get over the top of Hawthorn when they didn't kick that straight. What I know is that the guys are ready for the battle. If we're to win, we're going to have to play some super footy, and hopefully we can do that. It'll be an exciting game. I've got no doubt it'll be another really high-quality game like 2012. And hoping that come the siren, the Swanee supporters can really have a great night celebrating.